majority in the plan.
I see. Also.
The warrants?
Understand.
I understand those.
All right, friends. Let's see. Is someone missing from that chair we should wait for? I don't know.
No, I think.
Now, I'm using this microphone because Rich's family is mostly here, except for Geert, his dad, who is still in care and recovering, but not able to be here today. So we are recording this. And if anybody feels like they don't want to be recorded, simply don't hold the microphone, because it's not going to be strong enough to catch your voice unless you're on the microphone, okay? And that means also you can say something special like, "Hi, Geert, I hope you're feeling better." And he'll hear it later. So I'm Karen Brammer. I'm the new minister here at the Fellowship. And I wanted to, in our Unitarian Universalist tradition, light our chalice. And I light the chalice this morning in the name and acknowledgement of the mystery. Death and anniversaries of death, and birth and anniversaries of birth are all times of mystery when we frankly don't know very much. We experience things we might think and hope, and sometimes we just don't know. And this vestment that I'm wearing, this tree, it's the tree of life, but under the tree of life there's no root that we can see, but we know there's a root. And it's the mystery. So I light this chalice in acknowledgement and thanks for the mystery of life that certainly ran through Richard's life and certainly is in yours. So I light this chalice with thanks. Let me just say a word about how we have planned this morning, which is to basically, I will open us, and then I have a very brief a eulogy, I guess, that comes from hearing stories from the Bowman family. And am I saying that right? Bowman. Bowman. I had to get several lessons on how to say Kuhman, Richard, Coonrod. See, my lessons, deaf ears. Coonrod. Actually, I don't know if you knew that Rich's middle name was Coonrod, which was the name of one of his grandfathers. Yes. So I will welcome you all here. Thank you for being here. It matters a great deal to each of us, and certainly to the family, and to the heart and memory of Richard. And some of you knew him as Dick, some of you knew him as Rich, and I think all those things are welcome. In fact, based on what I read in this, it's an award to the Bowman family from the Special Olympics and his friends. Rich was a dedicated athlete, a World Games champion, a Special Olympics hero, a loyal teammate, and a true gentleman. So if you would just take a moment to welcome in whatever presence you know sustains your life, and you may have your eyes open or closed, your head up to the light or down to your hands, but take a moment and welcome in that presence that sustains you. With thanks, we come together in honor of the life of Richard, Dick, Rich, someone who was so well loved and left his mark on us. May all that we say to one another and do with one another today serve to increase the love and our sense of connection to all that he was and is, and to one another, and to the mystery of life. Amen. May it be so. And now we would love to go around. And again, if you don't mind being recorded, use the microphone and say your name and how you knew Rich. And later, very, very soon actually, but later, we'll ask you to tell stories of what your favorite memories are. So if you would start over, can we start with you, Bill? And then just say your name and how you knew him.
Well, my name is Bill Hart. I knew Rich through his family, through some photographs I made of that family, and that was my first introduction to him. I had not known him prior, and I found him to be such an interesting person and such an intelligent individual. You know, I was very, very impressed.
And you're going to have to speak right into the mic like it's an ice cream cone.
Okay, I have never done this. Okay. Okay. I'm Phyllis Wilson. I knew Rich for the past, I guess, for 10 years as his Medicaid service coordinator, or translation, as his social worker at CLC where he lived.
My name is Suli Di Stadio. I know Rich from 2001. My first day he started working for CLC, and he was incredible individual, and I do miss him a lot. Mrs. Bauman, I want to know how much I miss your son. Every day I come into work, then Rich is always going to be my memory. And anyway, Holly, you want to talk now?
My name is Holly Pike. I was his number one girl, and I really, truly loved him very, very much.
My name's Lucille McCarthy. I worked with Richard on two parts of his life at CLC, where I manage a group home for 21 years. I've known him, and also at Hidden Treasures, where he danced. And he had a wonderful love of dance. It was incredible just watching his grace and agility that he had. He's deeply missed. We loved him very much.
And I'm Linda Evans. I knew Dick when he was younger. I first met him through his family, through my daughter Cynthia, who they were both attending Pinesburg School together as youngsters, and waiting for bus stops and so forth. We got to know each other. We got to know the family. And also, I worked with Dorothy and Garrett on a parent advisory committee trying to get services for our kids. In those days, there were not that many services. So I got to know, I knew Dick mainly as Cynthia's mother.
First of all, hi, Garrett.
Nice and close.
Hi, Garrett. Jack and I miss you, but we'll see you. And we understand that you're recuperating. Jack and I and my whole family knew Dick at the time, and then Rich later on, and loved him. He was very special. He was one of the kids, and he was a very centered and connecting person. He was there, and it was just a pleasure always to see him. And my kids and their families lived in the Barker Street apartments, co-op, whatever it was, and they always were happy to see him. And then they would tell me, "We saw Dick today," and he's always waves and feels wonderful about seeing people that he knows and loves. And he used to say to me, "Hi, Liebid," that's my last name, and always with, you know, enthusiasm, and it was a pleasure to know him.
We'll have time for more stories soon.
Hi, I'm Adrian. I'm a member of this fellowship. I didn't really know him personally, but Garrett and Dorothy would always brag about all her children. So I knew him in that sense. He was a wonderful athlete and a joy to the family. So my wishes are with him.
I'm Mary Walsh, and I've known Dorothy and Geert for a long time, and their son Gordon is here today, which is a delight for me to see him. And Dick, I remember as a young boy. That was when I knew him, and his love of sports then and his enthusiasm for life were a delight. And it was a pleasure to know of all his wonderful Special Olympics and all his sports activities through the years, and I'm happy to be here today to honor his memory.
My name is Joe Bellini. I'm actually one of Rich's Special Olympics coaches, and we do miss him. Every time we fill out a registration or a new tournament, he's missed. He was one of my better athletes and probably one of my better people in the program.
I'm Kathy DeChristopher, also with Northeast Westchester Special Recreation, and I've knew Rich for many years and went to state games with him on several occasions, and I miss his smiling face and always hand up and high five and hey coach, so miss him a lot.
I'm Janet Riley, Executive Director of Northeast. Got to know Rich especially well when we went to Japan in 2005. Always very enthusiastic, always supportive of other teammates, and always willing to give a big pat on the back, which usually would knock me over. But we really miss him.
I'm Nancy Bellini, the program director at Northeast, and I was lucky enough to spend 22 years with Rich coaching and working programs, and a positive, upbeat, wonderful guy, and as we've all said, we miss him terribly.
I'm Judy Shaver, and I'm a member here at the fellowship and know Dorothy and Geert very well. I didn't know Rich as well because he was had moved to Mount Kisco, but we all used to go to Frost Valley as a group, and he would come with us, and man, was he mean on those slopes. He was fast.
I'm Sharon, and I'm Dick's sister, and it was great having him as a brother.
Yeah, Rich's brother. It's basically a heartbreaking situation. That, you know, he was so sweet. You know, we had our struggles when we were younger. He kind of wanted to always hang around with me and my friends, and then when we struggled, you know, as you know, relationship, and but once he moved to Mount Kisco and got his own life, he really took off, and it was really wonderful to see that he just, you know, was amongst his peers and had his own life, and it's just so sad that, you know, he could have just kept going, but that's just how it is. It's just, and he was very nice and, you know, very sweet, and, you know, I just miss him very much, and it's just that he had, you know, at least he had his, you know, he had his peers, and he got independence, and he could walk to places, and he didn't have to worry about a car because he struggled with these things. And it's just, you know, I guess he had what he had for his life. And that's just how it is. You know, it's just, you know, he just had some bad luck. And it's just the nicest guy you could imagine.
Hi, I'm his mother. And it was a struggle in the beginning. He just took him a long time to find himself, I think. But I think once he moved to Mount Kisco, his life really began, and his independence and all the support he got from Special Olympics and Hidden Treasures, it was just wonderful. I had no idea the extent of the love of people in Mount Kisco. You know, it was his life started there. I mean, we knew him for 30 years at home, and he developed, and then he just took off in Mount Kisco. So thank you for all of your support.
So I'm sorry to say that I did not know Rich or Dick, but I have listened to now all of you and some of the stories in more depth from his family. And Rich left a huge imprint, obviously, on the lives of people who knew and loved him. In his element, he was a leader, clearly. He set an atmosphere of caring and enjoying what he was doing so that others around him were encouraged. So many of the pictures that we see in the back there, he has a huge smile on his face and his arm outstretched into the air, as if he was cheering, yes. He expressed kindness and took time to connect, saying hello and visiting when he could. And it is so hard, even a year after, to have lost someone like Rich. It's not possible to fill that gap that his death left in so many hearts, including yours. And today it would be good to tell stories, to remember what you loved about him, so we can all remember again the ways you would like to be a bit more like him, and I would like to be a bit more like him. And today it'll be good to remember that Richard blossomed so beautifully in his element, and when he was not in his element, life was much harder for him. It is especially good for you all here today to remember that you helped create that element, that way, that helped Rich to bloom and to be beautiful as he was. May our being together today remind us to keep working on creating that element or that way of being together as a community or as a group or a family where we ourselves and others feel encouraged, seen, and loved. May we remember today that the beauty and strength that flowed through Rich can flow through you, every single one of us, and throughout all life. So we remember today to be thankful for all that is holy and life-sustaining as we tell our stories, more stories of Rich. It is fine to laugh and weep or be angry or be... However you are, is just right. And so I'm going to bring a candle from here so that you can light this, what will probably become a little bonfire here. So I begin by lighting a candle. Geert, this one's for you. It's right at the center. I'll invite anyone who would like to tell a story to start first by lighting a candle, and you can ask me to do that, or you can come forward and do that. But there are two microphones, and we'll pass them both ways.
Well, I would just like to tell a story about Rich's, you know, a couple of Rich's favorite stories that he always wanted me to tell. And that's when we were teenagers, and we went to go pick up pizza in town, and we, you know, I was like 15 or so, and I didn't have my driver's license, and so I'd ride my motorcycle around, you know, on the back roads, and so we went into town, and you know, we walked the motorcycle into town, and the pizza place is right, you know, so. So Rich went with me, and so I just said, okay, here, hold on to this pizza. You know, it was like a large pizza, and he just looked at me like, "What? You know, what do you think? You know, how am I supposed to hold on to this pizza?" So I said, okay, let's walk back. So, you know, I walked the motorcycle back. You know, this is like going back 20, 30 years when it's rural Yorktown or whatever. So we got onto the back road or whatever, and I said, okay, I put the pizza in between us, and he just was on the back, and so I put it, like, you know, vertically. And so we went up the hill, and we just were riding home, and so then when this is Rich, one of Rich's favorite stories that he always brought up. And so when we were going down the hill, I overshot the turn, and I put on the brakes really, and he just slid right, and we squished the pizza, and he just, you know, it survived the ordeal, but it was just he thought that was so funny that when I handed him the pizza, and just for, you know, to say, okay, hold on to this pizza, and also, you know, stay on the back of the motorcycle. So that's one of his all-time favorite stories that he always wants me to tell. So that's probably the number one story. So that's, you know.
Thank you.
Okay.
My name is Bill Hart, and I don't have such a wonderful story as the one you shared. That was just delicious. But I was here at the fellowship. I'm a member of the fellowship, and was asked to make some photographs of different families for Christmas about a year or two ago. And, of course, the Bauman family showed up, and Richard was among them. And I was impressed with a couple of things. One, Richard's sense of humor. Because as I was desperately trying to get everybody together at the same time and address the camera and look at me, it was difficult, as it is with most situations when you get more than two people at the same time together. He thought this was hilarious, that everyone would be together, and yet one person would step away or look away, and he thought this was great. And he was smiling, and it was at that point that I thought I captured the chemistry among the family. And to that point about the family, I want to make this observation. I have not seen any family be more loving and supportive and caring. I can understand very well how Rich developed the way he did and how courageous he became, because he learned it from you guys.
I'm Phyllis. I was Rich's social worker for 10 years. And most of the things that I know about Rich were from sitting and talking. I wasn't interacting with him in sports or at Hidden Treasures, so all my stories are just an accumulation of Rich's life. But my memories of walking into his apartment and just having him pop up off his bed, because he was always watching TV before dinner. Yeah. And just, you know, smiling and happy, so polite. And every time he would turn off the TV, and I always said, you know, that's a tribute to his parents who just raised him beautifully. And Rich would come into the living room, and we'd sit and we'd talk on the couch. And talking, you know, it's difficult for Rich, but he would sit there and he would express himself and get his thoughts out, and I couldn't keep him quiet either. You know, he would just keep, you know, bringing up one subject after another. And I, you know, I think of him as being a very, very early riser, and showing up at ARC before the doors opened, and having the speech therapist have to drive through town to find him on his early morning walk, and where they would converse, and he'd have his therapy sessions walking through town. And a thing I loved about Rich is that, you know, he was always happy, always polite, but boy, when he had another idea, and he could be very firm. When he said no, it was no. Right. So I got to see some of that too. And then, of course, all his wonderful times with Hidden Treasures and his wonderful dancing and his sports and, you know, the stories about the trucks when he would drive up to his tournaments, and the trucks were the major thing that he loved. So very many memories of his whole life. And mostly I remember that wonderful smile.
My name is Suli. Rich was in my caring 5 days a week. And I was the first person to see him in the morning. Like, was the shift night shift, and it was morning shift. Then most of the time I see Richie on the street, because I was driving to work, and Richie goes, "Hey, I'm here in the street." And it's okay, you know, see you later. And the smile, the happiness is always in his face. Wow, when I come Sunday to work, I see his medals. The first thing in the morning, he's going to show his medals from Northeast. Suli, first place. I was the first. Guess what, Suli? I was great. Was fantastic. I see. I'm so happy for you, Richie. Richie, you know, couldn't make anyone day, because he always smiling. He always polite. Please, thank you. And he was my buddy, and I miss him very much.
I can remember one time, Jackie, that's one of my favorite job coaches. He went up to on one of his vacations with Jack. What was it, Mrs. Bauman?
New Hampshire.
And Jack would let him sit in the front seat because his legs were so long. And Jack would, whenever they saw a semi, because Jack loves semis, and whenever they saw a semi go by, Jack would let him go like that. And the guy in the semi would blow his horn. And Richard loves that. And he always told me, "Holly, I love semis." When I want to work on a semi. And that was he wanted to work on a semi, but he never got to do that. But he wanted to work on a semi. That was one of his favorite dreams, was to work on a semi.
I was lucky enough to be Rich's coach for Special Olympics for 22 years. We took him to fall games, winter games, summer games. We traveled to Japan, to China, so I spent plenty of time with him. His parents were wonderful and supportive, and I truly appreciate the fact that they wanted to be involved. And since Rich's language was limited, I would often spend time with him like at the end of the competition on a Saturday where we were at state games and say, okay, Rich, let's talk about what we're doing so we can send something home to your parents. And we'd write notes where we stayed, what we did. And, you know, it was like, so, Rich, hockey, how'd we do? We won. No, Rich, we didn't win that game. No. And then, Rich, did you score a goal? Nope. No, Rich, you did score a goal. So we'd straighten them out with all the, because we'd play like four games in a day. So it did get a little confusing and things, but always, always agreeable, always pleasant. Just like Janet said, the high fives all the time. Like, okay, Rich, no more high fives because my hand hurts at this point. We got to slow it down. Don't hit me on the shoulder. But he was great. Just always pleasant, always agreeable. One of the stories I told at his service was, the last summer, we had state games, and our team has gotten rather young, so Rich has gotten a little older, and he's a wonderful athlete, but there were times we need to shift things around. So we wanted to put Rich on the track, and that was always a challenge because Rich would turn purple from getting so sunburned all the time. So I was in touch with his mom. I promise we'll lather him up. I promise we'll keep him under the tent. Can he do the track? So he went up for the track. So we had also had a basketball team. Joe and I were coaching. And at the end of the day, we went out to see how they were doing on the track. And, you know, Rich, how'd you do? Good. Did you have fun? Yep. He said, hey, Nance, next year, basketball. So he definitely made his wants known without any hesitation. But the stories are really endless with all the different competitions that we did. You know, we dress for state games, we have a victory dance, and he always dressed so nicely. He had his khakis, he had his polo shirt on, and we had to work on a lot of our guys to, you know, you need to step it up and dress appropriately. But Rich was always dressed well, but he'd always, hey, Nance, look at me. You look good, Rich. Yep. So it was regular things like that, but he always wanted to make sure you knew he was there, and have those little conversations as much as he could, and we did that. He was a pleasure. I really enjoyed.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I won't take the microphone. I just want wanted to say I have to leave. Oh, Sharon, I'm here. And I know Sharon. And I'm sorry, I have to go. And that the Bowman family, yes, is an example to everybody because of the strength, the love, and the being together and knowing what's important in this family.
Thank you for coming there.
I'm going to just light this candle in honor of Richard.
I just want to light this candle in honor of Richard for all the joy he brought into my life. And the lives of all of his friends that I've seen him with. He was just an exceptional young man, very exceptional. I have a lot of fond memories of Richard. Probably most of them are with his dance, because I saw him grow for so many years. He first started with Hidden Treasures in 1997. And we went up to Niceacra and performed at Niceacra. And he did a grease number. It was just outstanding. You couldn't miss him because of his height. You had Paul Ryder here. You had Rich up here. I mean, it was amazing to watch him. What I loved was his dedication to whatever he was doing. He had to learn three choreographies a year. And it wasn't just freestyle with us there. They had to learn a choreography. The hardest part for Richard was teaching him his right from his left. Yeah. Rich, your right foot. No, Rich, that's not your right foot. Your right foot, Rich. No, Rich, that's not your right foot. And then I realized his chain. He always wore on the right side. So when I was working with him, I'd hold on to his chain. And that kind of knew he had to lead that way. And then all of a sudden, he got it. And from there on in, it was lead with your left, lead with your right. He knew exactly what was going on. But it was amazing watching him progress. And he did learn three choreographies every single year. And at the end of every one of them was that sense of accomplishment. That hand went up. He high-fived everybody on stage. And he bowed and walked off. But he was an exceptional, beautiful, graceful young man. His teacher thought he should have been a ballet dancer because he was so graceful. And you wouldn't have thought that in the beginning when he first started. But wow, he really, really accomplished so much. And he was an inspiration for all of his dance group. I mean, they really looked to him. So we have a lot of fond memories. And he's deeply, deeply missed. Richard, we love you. Okay. What I really would like, I don't so much have stories as memories which are precursors to his dance success with you. When he was, maybe early teens or even younger, at Pinesbridge School, some parents got together and got a wonderful dance teacher by the name of Pecky, who started a program. It was an after-school program, and not everybody was in it. But there were at least four boys, Paul Ryder and a few others, and a bunch of girls. And it really turned out to be an ability for them to be able to communicate their feelings through dance. And they loved it. They were so enthused. And even then, you could see how wonderful Dick was. He loved it. I remember particularly, I know Dorothy had told me about his skating to music. I remember them with scarves, dancing, and just loving every minute of it. These were mostly youngsters who had difficulty with verbal communication. And this gave them a way to express everything they felt. And I was usually there during the class, because I had to come and pick them up at the end. So I got to see it. I tried to, be like the fly on the wall and not intrude. But this was all the way along. Rich had so many people caring and helping, and he responded so beautifully. You could see he loved every minute of it, the big smile on his face. And I remember particularly those dance classes. And Cynthia, my daughter, knew him better than I did, and she still. She lives in a group home now too, but I do see her maybe every week. And I would bet every couple of weeks she speaks about Dick. And she misses him. And I do too. And his parents were so supportive and let him go and try things. I think it took a lot of courage to do that. And he knew how to enjoy life, and he did.
I didn't know Richard very well. And I found myself thinking about him and saying, what is it, that feeling I have about him that I'm trying to say? And when I thought about it, I thought one word, Richard's sensitivity.
Would you say your name into the mic so Geert knows who just spoke?
Say who you are.
Geert.
Say hi to him. Geert, and tell me your name.
Well, my name is Jack Liebed, and I knew Geert, Gordon, etc., via his mother and his father.
Thanks.
I don't have a particular story. I mean, we coached Rich at Northeast since I've been there. But I do have – Rich was always our barometer. He was our you couldn't tell whether we were winning or losing by looking at Rich. So in the old days, our teams weren't Our teams weren't very good athletically. I mean, they were a fun bunch to be around, but we couldn't play. And it was funny. We were coaching in state games, and we were getting smoked. We were down by 35 points. It was a 20-minute game. I mean, we were getting killed. They were running up and down the court. Our guys are running around in circles. So everyone has to play. So Rich happened to be on the bench, and I sat down on the bench. He sits next to me. And he looks at me, and he goes, "Joe, lunch." I'm like, "Yeah, that's a great idea." So we called a timeout, and we got everybody together, and we started taking lunch orders. Forget the plays, because they weren't learning anything. So we just decided to do lunch orders. And it was that type of attitude that, you know, it kind of put everything into perspective as far as, you know, what were we there for? We were there to have fun, you know, and it's little bits and pieces. You know, when I drive through Mount Kisco on the way to the boys' club, you know, I don't see Rich anymore walking up Main Street. Or when I'm picking up for bowling, I don't see him walking down Lexington Avenue. And he's always waving at the Northeast bus. You beep your horn, he's waving 20 minutes after you pass. He's still waving to you. That's what we miss the most at Northeast, and myself personally. I just miss having someone there that it doesn't matter whether you're winning or losing. Because it's hard to tell the athletes, you know, well, you gave it your best shot. But he's there. He's living proof. He's having a blast. And it's a lot easier for the other athletes to do the same. And I honestly can say in all the time that I've known Rich, I don't think I ever saw him angry once, like one time. And how many people can you say that about? You talk about 20 years. Never. And that's what, you know, when I think of Rich, and we do often, like I said, every time we fill out a registration for a tournament or put the teams together, you know, he's always thought, wow, let's pencil him in. I'm still erasing his name half the time. So that's what we miss the most. At Northeast, we do miss that just upbeat attitude and the high fives and all of that. It really is.
Is there one or two more stories, especially from people who didn't get a chance to speak?
I'm not going to pressure anybody, but if anybody would like
here,
to,
I have another funny story.
Oh, and us on a funny story.
There's another thing about Rich. When we went traveling with him, he would always, like, we'd say, "Does anyone have to go to the bathroom?" And Rich would be like, "Yes, you know." And so, and what he really,
which drove my father crazy.
Right. If we were trying to get somewhere, and then he would get a soda. He'd get a Mountain Dew at the and he would fill up on the soda. He'd drink it in like 5 seconds, you know, just as soon as we got it back on the road. But he would stop there, and then it would, like, he would just be looking at the, you know, the he would be looking at the, you know, trucks. He loved to see these trucks drive by. This was like one of his ultimate loves. He sat in the behind the driver's seat, and he would kind of go like this to the guy, you know, as they passed, and then it would always be like, you know, like if he saw a rest area sign, he would be like, "Oh, I have to go to the bathroom," you know, like, and it would be like 20 minutes later, it'd be like, "Rich, we just stopped," and so he would just try and get as many stops as he could to the rest areas, because this is what he really loved, to look at the trucks. So that's a funny one that he was, you know, very, you know, he could be very crafty if he wanted to be. So that was definitely something that.
Here's another story. We traveled across country about 4 times. Geert loved to drive, and Dick would love to drive also. And so the two of them made many trips to Florida together. And Dick, I mean, there was silence, you know. I mean, Dick would sit behind him in the car, and then they would drive to Florida. And Geert loved it, and Dick loved it. So the two of them had a wonderful... I hate to drive in the car. So the two of them, I was very happy to have them go off and drive to Florida, and they would visit people on the way that they knew. But Dick would never pay for lunch. He was very tight with his money, especially with us, maybe not with other people.
But there are times when I would get him to, you know, to buy something for Christmas, for a present, and we'd get to the counter, and I'd say, all right, Rich, come on, you have to pay for this. No, he wouldn't get his wallet out.
This was early Rich, when he, I think he was more civilized
in Mount Kisco. He was awful about handing out, when he was home, I mean, his parents would pay for it, not, he wouldn't get, he, you know, he'd open his wallet, nope, no money.
Chinese food, I would end up paying for it. And then I finally said, you know, just give him like an allowance when he comes home, because he would just never want to spend any money at all. And even just like last summer, I got him a thing of chips, and he just was delighted. It was like a free soda and chips, you know. We went to the 7-Eleven, and I just, you know, sprung for it, and he just loved it. It's like a free lunch or whatever. It's just, he loved it.
Thank you so much. Another story that he loved to talk about was when we were in the car traveling across country. He had the windows open, and we had the map out, and all of a sudden, the map flew out of the window. And he loves to say, "Hoosh." He has lots of sound effects.
I would be the navigator, and I would open up the window all the way, and just open up the map all the way, and it would just went out.
Flew out the window.
And he just remembers that. On the like Jersey Turnpike, I was like, "Dad, are we gonna stop?" And he said, "No, it's like we're not gonna, you know, stop to try and get the map." So I was like, and my brother really remembers that very much. So that's like one of his all-time favorite stories. That's another one, that the map being just like with a Ford Pinto or whatever, with a long window, it just drew it. You know, I was little at the time, so I didn't realize that it would just. But he just remembers these things.
All right, everybody, so you remember the next time, was it his left hand?
What?
Everybody, take your left hand. We're gonna do this sound that Rich did. Ready? Okay, ready? No, it's getting sucked out the window. Ready? One,
out the window.
Two,
whoosh!
Whoosh.
If you miss and go whoosh or whoosh, separate, whoosh.
He had sound effects, definitely.
One time, I really appreciate the dedication programs that Special Olympics of Northeast made and Hidden Treasures did for Rich. It was beautiful for the year. I mean, it was wonderful that you paid so much attention to Rich, and it was wonderful to attend them, and it shows the support, you know. Thank you for the support that you gave Rich in the past year, especially. Thank you.
And also CLC for supervising him and taking care of him. We appreciate that very much. It's just this unfortunate incident, you know. So that's, you know. I mean, accidents happen. It's just one of these things.
Now, I'm going to suggest, because, wow, this is heavy. Josh isn't here at the moment, but he's coming back. This is a nameplate that will go right over. Well, I'm thinking we could pass it around, if anybody wants to pass it around. This will be on the property in the memory garden. And Rich's ashes are there. But as you pass it, just send your love to Rich and send your thanks right into that. And it's going to sit right over his ashes. And when you want to think about him, you can either go whoosh, or you can come look at this and know he's very much a part of now my life as well. And as you pass it around, I'm going to read a part of a poem from John O'Donohue. Though we need to weep your loss, Rich. Though maybe we may be tired of weeping your loss, Rich. Though we may celebrate your life. You dwell in a safe place in our hearts, where no storm or night or fire or pain can reach you. Though your days here were brief, your spirit was alive, awake, and complete. May you continue to inspire us to enter each day with a generous heart, as you did, to serve courage and love, as you did, and that will continue in us as long as we remember you. In the name of all that is holy and in all the holy names, amen. And I know Dorothy wants you all to feel welcome to have some lunch. And I think after lunch, the family will go up and place the nameplate. And it stopped raining. And it's a little cooler. May we walk in peace, knowing that Rich is at rest and still in our hearts. Thank you all for being here.
So as the meal comes out, which part of the meal would Rich have gone for first? Dessert?